It is upon the threshold of a new year that each one has cause not only to look forward and to anticipate what the new year will hold for us, but of course it is also a time where we have cause to look back upon that which has been and to consider the 12 months that are almost gone out into God's eternity. Any reflection upon 2005 will be different for different people. But no doubt for most it will be a surprise that we find ourselves at another watch night service of an old year that's gone and a new year that's about to be ushered in. As our brother Jeff even said in his introduction, it is strange that we're here again. How quickly the last year has gone. Maybe it was our brother Ian as he prayed. How quickly that year has gone by. And we're on a watch night service again. And it is good to take stock of things while we're here. And there will be different questions asked upon the night, this night of the year. There will be those who will desire to know what their plans are for the new year. There will be others and they will ask about New Year's ambitions and resolutions. For the people of God, they will have some very solemn questions of themselves. But my dear friend, God through His Word would bring us another question. Another question which concerns each and every one of us. A question which can be put to both young and to older alike. A question which can be put to those who profess faith in Christ and to those who are still in their sin and in nature's darkness. God has been gracious and merciful to us another year. He is one who is ready to hearken unto the cry of men's hearts. But you know, the question that He would seek to draw our attention to tonight is one which is very appropriate. It is found in the words of verse 6. It's simply this. What have I done? As you look over 2005, you have caused tonight, more so than any ever other night in this year, to ask yourself, what have I done? What have I done? I want to mention first of all something of a word to God's people. What have I done in service? As child of God, you review the year that has passed. Maybe this question would be appropriate for you to address towards your service for God. We know that in salvation that our works do not save us. But we also know that once God saves the soul, there is a work that He has given to each and every one of us. We know that from Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Faith is a gift. God's salvation is a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But we go on into verse 10 and it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so as God has divinely chose each of His people back in the councils of eternity past and set His love upon each one of His people, so then He has also ordained us to go forth and to do a work for Him. That service may be menial. That service for you may be little in comparison to others, but like the hymn writer could pen, it is a work which only you can do. And it is a work which is most needful in the great plan and the great purpose of God. But when we consider our service for God, then we could narrow it down even more so and ask, what have I done in the place of supplication this year? Has the year that is quickly passing been a good year as far as my prayer life has been concerned? Have there been those additional times when the place where prayer is wont to be made has been sought for? Has the Lord seen our countenance? Has the Lord seen and heard our voice in prayer this year? When we have cause to review our life over this year, it will be needful to do so where our prayer life is concerned. And I say that for prayer is that which sets the people of God apart from the world. It was so when Saul of Tarsus was converted. For Ananias by the Lord was commanded to go to that upper room in the straight street. And he was to search out Saul of Tarsus. Why? For behold, he prayeth. He was a different man. He was found at prayer now. It is prayer that set apart the early church as they waited in the upper room for the day of Pentecost. It is prayer which sets apart the church of Jesus Christ. But what have I done in prayer this year? Have I got through with God? And that leads me on also to ask, what have I done with the study of God's Word this year? It was the advice of Paul to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I hasten to add that that's a verse not only for a minister. That's a verse not only for a Sabbath school teacher or for an elder. That's a verse for every one of God's people. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Men and women, as the people of God, there is no substitute for spending time before God's Word and being taught of Him. And this year we have spent time in getting to know other things. We've spent time in educating ourselves. We've spent time in getting up to date with what is going on in the business world, maybe. We've spent time in getting to know friends and getting to know others. But what about God's Word, which shall stand forever and which shall never pass away? What have I done in that regard? And then this same question must be asked with regard to our opportunities that God has given to us to speak of Him. What have I done to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has this year passed us by and so have countless opportunities that we have wasted? Is the regret of our hearts along the lines, I wish I had done more? The Lord would have us to confess with our mouth His salvation. He has given us His great commission to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Can you look back over this year? Can you see the good hand of the Lord upon you? Not only in giving you opportunities to speak a word in season, but also giving you the grace to take that opportunity and to speak that word. That's all service. What have I done in service? And on the basis of your answer, what are you planning to do in His service in 2006? What have I done? But you'll notice that this question can also be addressed to the unconverted. What have I done in sin? I stated that here is a question which is addressed to every heart. And while the first thought was toward the people of God, then so this question can be put to the heart of the unconverted. What have I done in sin this year? There may be those who will say, I've tried to live my best. I've gone to my church wherever circumstances were agreeable. I've sought to live that upright life. But alas, dear friend, the Scriptures of truth remind us that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And if God were to open the record books at the end of another year, and if He was to show you the catalogue of your sins, then there could be many a dark blot that would be marked against your name. The Spirit of God may have caused to stir up your conscience and to remind you of the sins of what you revel in 2005. Sins that you have sought to cover, but God has recorded them. The sins of the lusts of the flesh, the sins of lies, the sins of stealing from God and from man. The sin of being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. The countless numbers of times of hearing Christ preached to your heart, and yet there has been the sin of carelessness of your soul, and the sin of rejecting the only Savior who can save you. We haven't even started to mention the sins of thought, or of word, or what your hand has been put to. Aye, and dear sinner, one sin is enough to damn your soul in a Christless hell, and that for all eternity. And you have good reason to ask tonight, what have I done? You have but heaped upon yourself the wrath of God because of your sin. And if but one sin would ruin you forever, then how ruined you are now, tonight. The call has gone to your heart for another 12 months for you to repent of your sin and to turn by faith unto Christ. The Lord Himself was to warn of those who thought that others were greater sinners than themselves. You'll find that in Luke chapter 13. Let me read to you the opening number of verses. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then there was another disaster. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that is the message which has gone to your heart again. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But instead of taking that first step, instead of acknowledging that you are that sinner, you haven't even said, as the verse of my text describes tonight, you haven't even come to that point where you've said, what have I done? And like the rest of the verse states, your action has been one of turning to your own course. And that course has been one of sin, a series of sin, a progression into sin, a persisting in sin. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's the course of the world. Like the horse that rushes into battle and laughs, as it were, at danger, so the sinner is swift to commit sin, and the sinner is swift to get into the pleasure of his sin, and they laugh at the warnings, and they laugh at the threatenings of God's word. What have you done in sin this year? It's a solemn question. I want to close this question by turning your thought and attention to what have I done in salvation this year? It has been a very solemn question already to have to face up to. But is it not an even more solemn thought that another year is almost gone? And there are souls under the sound of my voice and you're still not saved. You're just what you were this time last year, one who has never experienced God's salvation. Indeed, we would have to say that you're worse off than this time last year, for another 12 months of preaching for some has heaped upon your soul. And it seems to have had no effect upon your soul. You are nearer death. You're nearer that lost sinner's hell unless you repent. And the question that God would put to your heart this evening is this. What have I done with God's so great salvation? Yea, dear soul, ask yourself at the close of 2005, what have I done with Jesus, which is called Christ? What have I done with the person of the Lord Jesus as He has been freely offered to me in the gospel? As He alone has been uplifted before me as the only Savior, as the one who came from the heights of glory to this earth in order to redeem a lost sinner like me. What have I done with Him who has taken my cruel and wicked hands and nailed to the cross of Calvary as a sinner's substitute? What have I done with God's salvation that has been accomplished upon the cross by the highest price, even the precious blood of God's Lamb, and whereby Christ cried, "It is finished"? What have I done with Christ, who arose again the third day from the grave, and who ascended victoriously to sit at the Father's right hand tonight? What have I done with Christ? What have I done in salvation? There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. The work has been finished. The precious blood has been shed. And that work which was decreed from before the foundations of the world in the eternal covenant of God, it has been completed. It has been finished. What have you done with Christ who paid your debt? Who died, who shed His precious blood so that you might be saved and might go free? At the end of 2005, God would bring just those four words to your attention. What have I done? At the last throes of this old world, I wonder, is there one who will repent and turn to Christ and be saved? The last throes of this year. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is still the day of God's salvation. Do you know the repentant thief was in the last throes of his life? But God's grace was to reach to that man. And while he scorned and while he reviled the Christ of the cross, of the middle cross, yet he was to turn in the last throes of his very life, which was ebbing away as he hung there as a thief, dying justly for his sins. And he realized that. And he turned to the Christ of Calvary and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He had an opportunity to be baptized. He had an opportunity to do good works. He had an opportunity to sit in the church of Jesus Christ or to serve the Lord in a practical fashion. But that man was saved. The Lord said, "Today I shall be with me in paradise." At the end of 2005, just the last minutes, there could be one under the sound of my voice tonight. By God's grace, I trust and I pray that you'll bow the knee. And you'll look to the one to whom that dying thief looked to. Even to the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved. You'll step into a new year in the will of God in Christ. With your sins forgiven, washed in the precious blood. Will you come? God asks tonight, what have I done? What have you done in 2005 with Christ? What are you going to do with Him in 2006? If God gives you the grace to see it. Child of God, what are you going to do for the Lord next year?
Are you going to serve Him to the best of your ability? Well, remember this. We've only one life to live. And as vapor, it's passing away. You must labor for treasures of worth. Our toil ends the close of the day. Are you going to rededicate your life and your heart to Christ now? And serve Him. And pray. And study. And speak a word in season for Him. May God bring us each one to that point. That next year will be a year of soul winning. For the lives of God's people are a testimony and a signpost to the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who are lost. May the Lord bless that word and season to your heart, for His own name's sake.